I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I've said this before in the same interview, I think at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them. And I will do it by whatever means necessary.
I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Ashley Thomas. And welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask. Good morning, Ashley. Thank you, Queen, for rocking out with me. Doing good this morning, Queen?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm a little stuffy. You know, the pollen's coming back in Atlanta, and my body knows it. But I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. And I'll call you a resident expert in the sense that you're at the age where you're dating. So I think you'll be able to talk about today's topic before we get our special guest introduced. But if you will, psychotherapist Monique Knight, thank you, Queen, for being with us this morning. If you will, say hello to Ashley and hello to the intellectual outcast out there listening. If you will, give them a little bit of your background as it relates to this morning's discussion question.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Ashley. Thank you, Montoya, for having me. I'm a psychotherapist. I have been working with families, couples, individuals for about 25 years. And I am working with a group of amazing therapists, and we have come up with what we think is a good start to solving some of the problems that we see in relationships and in marriages in the black community, and that's starting with a boot camp that we have put together where over 8 weeks we are teaching people how to successfully date, how to initiate a relationship that is healthy and does not continue to fall down the rabbit hole of toxicity that has become many relationships in our community. And just want to talk to people about how to engage in relationships more successfully and how to build the skills that are necessary to successfully function in relationships.
No, I love it. That is directly related to this morning's discussion question. If you are a first-time listener, we do the question in the form, we do the show in the form of a question, as I go by Black Socrates, and we try to take the Socratic method to see if we can figure out some answers to some of these questions. And this morning's discussion question, is it unrealistic to fix childhood trauma while dating? And as you just heard psychotherapist Monique Knight break down not only her background, but the fact that they're specializing in, I would say, helping people specifically with this question to a degree. Ashley, you've done this many a times with us. And so I called you. I said, I think this is a show that you will really like. And I said the title, can you give me your initial thought, not your second, third, or fourth thought, just the initial thought when you first heard the question?
We need to have this conversation. That was my first thought, because it's an important conversation. So yeah, I was excited as always about topics like this.
I respect it. So now Ashley kind of knocked it out the park for you. So Monique, if you will, I'll ask you that very same question. We were trying to figure out, hey, let's showcase, as you said, the secret sauce relationship boot camp as it helps with this issue. And we're going to let people know all about that. But again, with that said, when you first heard it worded that particular way, what popped in your head?
My first thought was that childhood trauma is never fixed, right? It is a journey. It is a lifestyle of repairing and addressing and, you know, managing something that that you come into the world and is created for you. And so if it's unrealistic, it's unrealistic that you won't be fixing your childhood trauma while you're dating.
Oh,
because
okay.
It's always present.
Oh, yeah, I can dig. That's definitely a different perspective right there. And so, yeah, if you're out there listening, if I see a couple people on the line, we will go to a break. When we come back from the break, we will get hot and heavy into this morning's discussion question. Is it unrealistic to fix childhood trauma while dating? If you're listening, and as you see, we have a psychotherapist on the air. We don't mind letting you call in and ask questions as we dive into this much-needed topic. Again, we'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think. Are you looking for a deep, meaningful relationship that eventually leads to marriage, but tired of swiping left on dating apps, tired of being ghosted, and tired of online relationship coaches without relationships themselves? Well, psychotherapist Monique Knight has the recipe to help you find your perfect match, and she brings you the Secret Sauce Relationship Bootcamp. With support from trained couples counselors, marriage and family therapists, this course will empower you to build meaningful relationships. This 8-week boot camp offers a structured journey for singles to meet and interact as our team of experts guides you through topics like effective communication, conflict management, and intimacy. Registration is now open for the second boot camp after the first one sold out in less than 2 weeks. The next boot camp starts on April 1st. Register at comprehensivefamilycare.org/SSB or call 404-585-7533. Again, that is 404-585-7533 for details. Remember, love is not just a matter of chance, it's a skill that can be developed.
I'm tired of the go fix yourself
first
and then go be in a relationship. Relationships help you to become who you are. That's what happens between children and their caregivers. You learn to love yourself in the context of your relationships with others. You know, this idea that you go first to work on yourself here and then you prepare this little nice little package and you bring it to relationships, that is completely off, actually.
Wow.
It's interactive. You need a good amount of self-awareness, but you also need to be in relationships because it's people who help you become more aware.
Practicing it,
but other people let you see who you are. It's by being with others that you get to know who you are.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, with special guest co-host Ashley Thomas. This morning's discussion question, is it unrealistic to fix childhood trauma while dating? Our special guest is psychotherapist Monique Knight. If you will, Monique, tell us a little bit about that cut, if you will. I always hear it online that everybody's pushing, like, everybody needs therapy, and we need to go to therapy and be two whole people coming together. I've been hearing that for many years online. So what you think of that thought?
Well, I don't know who that was speaking, but she is absolutely on point. And I completely agree with that statement. I think that, you know, there's a difference between wholeness and perfection. And
yeah,
no one is ever going to be perfect. You can be a whole person. You can have laid the groundwork, if you will. You know, you lay a good foundation for, you know, being prepared to be in a relationship. But your relationship is what is part of that healing process. And your relationship is what's going to show you where you still need work. If you try to reach perfection or you're looking for perfection in another person before you get into a relationship, then you're doomed to be alone forever. And, you know, none of us functions at our best if that's what we are. We need connection. We need relationships. We need other people in order for us to truly reach our highest potential.
So, Ashley, any thoughts on that?
I agree wholeheartedly. I remember when you called me about the topic, and it just kind of highlights how people, you know, everyone talks about like, oh, the shoe dropped like 6 months in, or, you know, we don't get to see ourselves the way that people experience us. And so we need other people, just like the cut said, because when we are vulnerable and transparent and like that representative slip, now we have someone who is actually being able to see us and tell us about ourselves, hopefully in a loving way, so that we can see those blind spots. But you're not going to get that on your own, because all you can see is you and how you show up. There was something I read about how, like, the show Love is Blind, where the flaw to it is that the way we see ourselves is not the way that people experience us. So you could say that, oh, I'm a kind and caring person, but that's you thinking highly of yourself. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's how you're showing up in relationship. And that's why we need people in order to move forward and heal our traumas.
Wow, yeah, you break it down in a sense how to reveal it. Definitely wanted to ask Monique that. We got another therapist Mark Nelson. We'll bring him on. I think you're calling out of the Atlanta area, but whatever. But thank you for being on with us. If you will, give us your 3 cents and let people know your background as well.
Man, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. I'm a part of Monique's team at Comprehensive Family Care, looking forward to being one of the facilitators of the boot camp. Just first, I mean, literally one of the dopest mental health agencies, for real. And Monique is just such a insightful clinician, and I'm grateful to be a part of that. And I'm a master's level marriage and family therapist. And one thing that resonated with me from that cut with the lady speaking there was she mentioned the word self-awareness. And that is something that is so profound. I feel like oftentimes the couples that I see, two of the primary things they deal with are lack of communication skills and poor conflict resolution. And when you have when your self-awareness is increased to recognize how you impact your partner, and then building on the empathy, the intimacy, the turning towards instead of away from, the not reading negative intent, because sometimes we don't communicate well. I think it's there's a gentleman that's Neil. I'm going to get his last name wrong, but his saying is so powerful. It's unspoken expectations are premeditated resentments. Unspoken Ooh. Expectations are Ooh. Premeditated resentments. And I think it's such a powerful statement, because when you don't communicate, and then when you have poor conflict resolution as a result of the poor communication, Ooh. All kinds of hell can break loose in your relationship. So that self-awareness really stood out to me.
Oh, man, my self-awareness made me want to get off the show. You calling me out, man.
Man, that's all of us, man. As the sister said, we all have blind spots, so that's the work, but it's work that's done with a partner. It's not done by yourself.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that 3 cents. Incredible 3 cents. Monique, I don't know if you want to follow your brother Mark up, if you will. He ain't going to lie. He hit home.
Yeah. And, you know, so in our approach to the way we're building skills is that our team, and, you know, Mark is an amazing part of that, you know, that we work with each individual person to help them to find those blind spots and then to work in the context of a group, in relationship with other people, to help them to figure out where those behavioral blind spots are and then to start addressing them in an accountable way, which even in the traditional context of therapy is very difficult to do that when you're not in relationship with other people. That's why group therapy and family therapies are so impactful, because you do get to deal with those issues in the context of the relationship system. And you know, many times people can sit in therapy one-on-one, yes, they work through some of those childhood traumas. Mm-hmm. Yes, they become more aware of what's happening to them, but being able to change the behaviors are often things that you need to be in the relationships to practice, because those things are coming from two different parts of the brain. You know, where we have our thinking systems, our executive functioning, our logic, but our emotions and our lust and our desire for connection are in a very different part of the brain. Our temporal lobe is where we're housing those things, and sometimes they don't necessarily speak to each other. So, yeah, we may know a thing, but that's why people will say that, you know, my brain's telling me one thing and my heart's telling me something else. Yeah, because that's two different parts of the brain, and they are developed from two different things. One is a logical and learning, and one is your childhood experience. One is your childhood trauma. One is, you know, from the moment you're born, this is what I see the world as, and this is what moves my spirit, and that's two very different systems that we have to learn to integrate.
Let me ask you a question. So you yourself, and more, you know, speaking like you said, talking about the awareness. So I know it can vary for all types of people, but in the event that, just in general, someone becomes aware of, you know, maybe like Ashley said, they're not aware how they've been showing up, but they finally get
mm-hmm.
some of that awareness.
What
is like the first recommendation from your professional perspective? You know what I mean? Like just to even process, I'm aware of this, because even once, you know, initially being aware, it still doesn't mean you act immediately on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's true, and I think that it's just like with anything, it has to be, you know, we can learn how to lose weight. We can learn how to, you know, drive more safely in Atlanta traffic. We can logically know those things, but changing behavior requires action, and it requires, you know, holding yourself accountable to a system of action to develop a new habit, a new way of reacting.
Mm-hmm.
You have to process those things live. And
let me jump in right here real quick, if you don't mind.
Uh-huh.
So just like a real life example, say you become aware of this, what would be like a recommended first action? So it's like just generalizing specifically on maybe one example of what you're saying.
Okay. So say, for example, you realize that you get especially irritable with your spouse when you feel like they haven't given you enough attention. So you react by becoming critical of them. You act out,
okay.
You know, trying to get negative attention, right?
Okay.
And so you become aware of that in therapy.
Okay.
And so step one is going to be admitting that that's what's happening and recognizing the cycle that is happening in that relationship, and then committing to behaving differently. You know, calling, either acknowledging to your spouse, hey, this is what I've been doing and this is why I do it. You know, I feel like you didn't call me back, and so I criticize how much money you make, you know.
Trying to call yourself out almost. Is that kind of what it sounds like to me? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But I know admitting it'd be the hardest thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's vulnerability. Yeah, that's true intimacy, though.
Let me flip it to. Oh, go ahead, Ashley. Please go ahead. Oh, hold on. I think Mark's trying to get back in. I want to make sure he doesn't have a lot of time, so I want to make sure you're back. Mark, are you trying to get back in here? Go ahead and jump in real quick. I know you didn't have a lot of time.
Should be ladies first, but I'll just say this and get out of the way. I feel like Monique said something that's so powerful that I don't want to overlook, specifically as it relates to black couples and black men particularly, is the emotional element. Far too often, black men are not allowed to have or express emotion. For ourselves, it's a sign of weakness. For our partners, oftentimes they don't even recognize it. It's not even an intentional slight or an intentional, but we're socialized in a certain way where the last thing you want to be as a black man is in your feelings, but we're human beings. So it's okay to have feelings, and feelings are going to happen. The question is, what do you do once they come up? So I think a critical element is being able to process your own emotions in order that that self-awareness kicks in and then can translate into action that remedies the problem in your relationship. So again, we're triggered by things. We experience certain things. We have childhood traumas, all of these things. And to bottle them up, pressure bust pipes, right? Unless you find a healthy outlet, a healthy way to express it, acknowledge it, and then work on dealing with it, you might not have the success that you hope for.
Hey, Nelson, real quick, I want to tell you, if I could hyper-focus on the point of, in a sense, black men not having an option, in a sense, to show those feelings inside of a lot of relationships I've seen and have experienced. You're referred to quickly as sensitive. And like that's kind of, in a sense, the go-to. And it's like, at that point, it feels like things change at that point because it's like there's no acknowledgement.
But I think, man, I don't want to blame black women or women for that. I think it's a social construct. It's how the world is presented to us. So when we start to unlearn some of those unhealthy habits and take back our narrative, so to speak, of how healthy interactions look like and what it means to have feelings and still be a man, however you choose to define that, right? It's okay. But I don't want to blame and say,
I don't even want to bring that up because that's not necessary, because especially in this situation,
you're
just talking about, I'm just saying, well, whatever race in this situation, for specifically this thing, that sensitive is often used without acknowledging the actual issue.
I hear you.
But thank you for your time, brother. I know you had to jump on and off, so I wanted to let you get in here one more time.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, brother. Ashley, any thoughts about what you hear? I'm not going to get a chance to get you. And the other caller that just jumped on, if you want to get in, you do have to press one. Go ahead, Ashley.
So I just wanted to add, like, how much of a social construct it is, because – oftentimes, the other part of the narrative that I have experienced with black men is like, oh, women are too emotional and like men are logical and not emotional, right? Like that's a part of the narrative that gets pushed because black men do experience emotions. I think that there needs to be a space created for black men to be able to identify what those emotions are that they're feeling, but it all is a part of the process. And when Dr. Monique was talking, like, the thing that came in mind to me in my last relationship, I would tell my ex, like, I know these things in theory, but it's the practice, and you need someone that's going to create a safe environment in order for you to practice. Because if this is how you have been showing up, unaware of how you're acting for 20 or 30 years or 40 years or 50 years, this is not something that you're going to just switch overnight. It is something that is going to take time. And so, like, are you going to not only be gracious with yourself, but is your partner going to have the patience if you are working towards it and creating a safe space for you? Because it's an unlearned skill, right? Like, it's just like when a newborn is trying to learn how to walk, or when someone is trying to learn how to ride a bike, it's going to take practice. You're going to fall off. You're going to fall back. You're going to have some old repeated actions that you're taking. And so, like, that grace and that understanding needs to be there if you see that your partner is making efforts or attempts to do that, and know that it's just not going to happen overnight. And it could take some time, and the amount of time is going to vary on the person. So,
cutting off my lady, cutting off people and things that, like, just really having to work on is like, I know I want to approve it immediately, but it's like breaking a habit. So, you know, I can definitely admit to that myself. I got 501, last 3793. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Oh, man, Chris James here, man. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? You coming in this thing at the perfect time. Anyway, yeah. Matter of fact, I just had this brother on the show. I don't know, it was a week or two ago, but either way, he killed his show. But anyway, real quick, this is a mental health advocate for everybody out there calling. This is a family show. Y'all jump in here with us. I don't want to take too much of this brother's time, but I do feel like I need to highlight your background before they get this amazing 3 cents you're about to bring to us, brother. We appreciate you calling in today.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I'm loving this conversation. I'm a fan of Miss Monique. Hey, Miss Monique, good to hear your voice. So I mean, and it ain't much more I can add, but I just want to say I'm learning a lot already listening. So thank you for having this conversation, and I do want to second everything everybody is saying as it relates to the emotional experience of Black men. So as you know, Montoya, I do run a program called Black Boys Better, where we partner with the state of Georgia, the Department of the Behavioral Health, where we provide mental health education for Black boys across the state. And what we're teaching Black boys is what we're talking about right now. We're teaching Black boys comprehensive, what it looks like to experience the full spectrum of their emotions, right? Because what we've learned is that, you know, what we've learned through our own experience as Black men is that because of the social construct, because of the culture, right, a lot of us as Black men have become what I would always say emotionally incarcerated, right? So we're teaching Black boys what it means and what it looks like for these emotions that are unfamiliar, what they look like and what they feel like when they show up in your body. Because, again, these emotions that we're all experiencing, they're in your body and they're in your mind. It's all of that. It's affecting your nervous system. But what does it look like? Again, the sister just spoke about practice. So what we're giving these Black boys in these workshops is this is what you should be – this is when you experience this emotion, this is probably what it is, and you should practice – experiencing that particular emotion so you can become, again, the goal is to become more comprehensive in it. But again, I'm with that. But again, I think we need more programs like mine so these boys can have the opportunity to exist in these spaces. So, again, I'm loving the conversation. That's my 2 cents.
3 cents on here, baby. That's all good. Coming on, King.
Amen.
Great 3 cents from that brother. Monique, if you will, he does a program particularly to Black boys or whatever. And so even just as a, if you will, just highlight even maybe some differences between, if you will, if there are any to a degree, the difference from, you know, what a young boy is experiencing versus what a young girl is experiencing, how it will show up in their relationships when they start to date, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I just, you know, to Chris, I think it's amazing what he's doing, and I think if we could get, you know, every Black man to stand up and say, okay, I'm going to give something to a Black boy that is not my son, you know, then we could really change a generation. So I really commend that. Society has created a system of problems, a systemic reality for us now where Black women are, and all of us, all of our children are being traumatized. There are not enough men in homes and families. There are not enough couples who know how to successfully navigate parenting together so that they can fill their kids with everything that they need to be successful whole adults. And I think that most of our children are being raised to have attachment disorders. And so they have these toxic attachment styles, these unsecure attachment styles. The women are being raised to have anxious attachment styles. They are going back and forth between this idea that there's just not enough men, or that they're not getting enough from men, or that they have to take care of a man, or they have to earn love. And so they are overly anxious in their attachments. They are doing too much, or they're expecting too much. And the men are being raised to be avoidant. So they are.
Oh, wow.
you know, they're being taught.
But hearing the technical terms to those things you just laid out just kind of blew my mind. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Queen.
Yeah. But, I mean, like Chris was saying, the boys are being taught not to feel. They don't even know what the feelings are. They don't know how a man expresses feelings. They are taught to understand anger, and that's it. But how do you feel hurt? How do you feel sad? How do you feel joy? How do you feel peace?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have an example of that, so that they don't get to practice those emotions in real life. And so when they get in a relationship and they're even trying to show love, how do we do that? Literally, what do I do, and how do I demonstrate love without feeling like a punk, you know? And so we do have a culture that has created these unhealthy attachment styles, and then they get into a situation where they really do want to love each other. They just don't know how. They don't know how.
Oh, wow. Nah, that makes sense. I definitely want to dig into that a little more. We do have to go to a couple of commercials here. Area code 904, last 361. We'll get you in out of the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mr. Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
Get off the internet and get intellectual in real life at the smartest event in the city, the Mental Dialogue Live Experience, every third Friday of the month at Urban Grind Coffee Shop. Come dialogue on issues of race, sex, business and culture, and meet professionals and creators all in one place. Dialogue and connect is what we do best. The Mental Dialogue Live Experience is smart, fun, and organic networking on another level. Who can we connect you to help you progress in your life? For more info and updates, please visit mentaldialogue.com. We are much better with you than we are without you. Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. The special guest co-host, Ashley Thomas. Is it unrealistic to fix childhood trauma while dating? Our special guest, psychotherapist Monique Knight. All right, area code 904-061. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Okay, brother. My name is Tahaka Amanael Bay, and I'm calling out of Jacksonville, Florida. And I was interested in your title you broadcast, Is It Unrealistic to Fix Childhood Trauma While Dating? I don't know about that one. The only thing that I could do is tell you what happened to me, which in a lot of cases I think I was quite fortunate, and it sounds pretty unorthodox, but nevertheless it's true, and it touched my lives. I was able to touch the lives of other young men, and the men that taught me this, it was three of them. All three of them were millionaires. One of them had four wives, four sets of families, no muss, no fuss out of none of the wives. All of them live scrumptiously. And his children never knew what it was like to work on a job for another man. But nevertheless, they told me, they said, well, look, first of all, before you date anybody, the first thing you got to do is learn something about yourself.
Mm.
And so they started giving me a whole lot of instances. And then they said, well, what's your hobby? I said, I don't have a hobby. So what kind of hobby you want? I said, I don't know. I said, I like that man across the street because he be growing vegetables and trees and stuff. He said, that's a good enough hobby for you. He said, there's a lot of work in it, but I think you can do it. And they went on and went on. They told me, said, first of all, you got to get the power, which is knowledge. As a result of getting the power, then you get the money, and the last thing to get is the woman. You don't get them three things mixed up. If you can remember that equation, that's how to do it. That's how we done it, and that's why we are successful.
Okay.
And as a result of that.
All right. Hey, thank you for that 3 cents. Again, we welcome all the people.
Okay, bro.
Thank you for that. No, absolutely. Thank you for that, brother. And so I listen to, it sounds like, I hope I'm right about this, but that sounds like a little old school game. And what popped into my head, popped into my head, though, Monique, was this. To his point, to a degree, there was, in a sense, some direction given. And I'm not highlighting and saying that, you know, in a sense, people just staying together in long-term marriages, if you will, back in the day, if you will. But aren't we, to a degree, really the first generation to be even discussing childhood drama? So it's kind of like, how did people get this right in the past and they didn't even know to address the things we're talking about today? How did they pull it off without even knowing about it? And that old school methodology, I just got there. That brother sounded like he could keep somebody out of their childhood trouble. The way it sounded to me, I'm just throwing it out there. But go ahead, Monique.
Well, but I think the best part of where our issues started is that we came out of, you know, this labor-based mentality, and it was all about put your head down, get to work, you know, make enough and survive. And so we are now at a phase, you know, you have to get out of survival mode. You have to have food, clothing, and shelter before you can look around and say, hey, maybe I'm not completely fulfilled. Maybe there's more. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could feel better. But you, a lot of times when you're in survival mode, you're just in fight or flight. You're not necessarily processing fully how to be your best self. You're just trying to be alive. And I appreciate that there were a lot of generations where that was our primary goal, to live, to have our children live, to put food on the table, and to have our basic needs met. I get that. But the consequence of that is that now we have, you know, what I was saying, we have a culture where we have the capacity for this greatness, for this divine kind of love, for this level of joy and care for one another in this experience that we have yet to tap. And that's what our greatest power is. When we talk about men being able to express their feelings, there is nothing in the world better than being loved by a black man. There is nothing.
Oh, shoot.
And
what you say, Monique? Say that again. Say that one more time. You know what I'm saying?
There
I'm just saying for the brother out here.
Better than the love of a black man. And if we can get to a place where we nurture and black men are able and willing and open to being that their most vulnerable and highest and greatest self, then that's a level that we have not reached on this continent.
Let me jump in and ask you something real quick. There's a couple of things you had said, but this right here in particular, that's being heavily encouraged. I'm not saying the way you're encouraging is the same as everybody else is saying it, but it's kind of generalized in a sense to push, you know, in a sense men to be extra vulnerable and things of that nature. Like that is something that seemingly is pushed all the time. I want to ask, but what does the balance look like from your perspective? Because there's a flip side of because of how men and women process differently, if you will, pushing for example, a bunch of therapy hasn't proven to necessarily be better for new age men. So it's kind of like old school men would be like, huh, do it this way. And sometimes that ends up being, you know, more successful than pushing men into their feelings. So what is the balance of that in your opinion?
Yeah, I would just say that I think that one of the fundamental issues is not necessarily about just being vulnerable. I think it's more about purpose. I think that for black men, the issue in today's culture is a lack of purpose. They don't understand their role in the family. They don't understand, or there's very unclear patience, like Mark was saying, right, that these unspoken expectations from women and from men are leading to these huge resentments in our relationships because we haven't defined very clearly the black man's position in our culture. You know, the media will tell you that they're criminals. You know, women will tell you that they're cheaters. Even in the therapist world, we'll say that they just can't express their feelings. And on the black man side, again, they've been taught to shut down. And so most of them are not speaking up for themselves. Instead, they're choosing to take the path of, you know, not to beat up on my marijuana users, but, you know, they're choosing to take the path of I'm going to damp down these emotions with a substance. And so we have a generation that sees using marijuana in an abusive way to control my need to have emotions and to regulate that. And so they are numbing themselves and aren't really a part of the conversation. There are very few of them that speak for themselves. We are starting to see more voices, which is wonderful, but it's still not the masses. It's still not in relationships. It's still not those one-on-one intimate conversations that really are needed to change, you know, the family structures.
And go ahead. Oh, Ashley, go ahead if you got something. Go ahead.
So, like, a lot of what you have described just sounds like people looking for escape. And I think that, like, speaks to the difference in the generations that we have within our community, because I remember having a conversation with my mom and just being like, I'm just struggling right now. And she's just like, well, what's wrong? Like, you know, and even a better example, I had a friend who was like, he didn't understand how his daughter was having the issues that she was having and like why she felt the way that she felt. And he's like, you know, I grew up in a time where you would get roasted. He was from New York, you know, like that's what you're used to. And I'm like, just because you experienced difficulties and had to push through them because that was the way that it was, does not make it okay. So just because you had to put your head down and go through things, you didn't experience, like, you pushed down your emotions as well. You did not try to acknowledge them because that was, quote, unquote, the way things were done in that time. And so now you have a generation of children who are coming up where that same survival, because of resources being readily available, even if it's not enough, those resources are available. Like, people have TVs, they have cell phones, they have all of these things. People are able to get cars. Even if you're not making the most money, it's still available. And so now we are left with having to deal with our emotions because, yes, some of us are still in survival mode, but like the things that we need to survive, they're readily available. And so, like, now we have to do the work of dealing with our emotions in order for us to, as Monique pointed out, have that purpose to know ourselves and to be able to be at home with ourselves. And, like, that's the thing that's happening. Like, we're being introduced to all of these other feelings outside of the things that we need to survive, and we don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, I will. I do understand what you're saying in this sense, that this is the truth of where we're at, regardless of how we got there. I think that's really what I'm hearing. And so it's like, Monique talked about, in a sense, needing to have more men in our relationships or in our family dynamics, if you will. And we're very aware of that. And so, so the fact is, since there's not enough, so a lot of this push and is what I think I'm hearing is it's kind of the only way, since this is where we're at. And I think when people are saying, you know, we used to deal with this stuff like you're saying, Ashley, it's not with the realization of where we're literally at right now. I'm up against the break, 302-8946. I'll get you in out of the break. Well, all I ask is that you think.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Ashley Thomas. This morning's discussion question, is it unrealistic to fix childhood trauma while dating? Our special guest psychotherapist, Monique Knight. We got another caller that wants to jump in. 302-946. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Alisa Word. So I wanted to jump in real quick and just be part of the conversation. I love what y'all are talking about. And as I was hearing this last bit of when you all were chatting about the fact that people don't really know what to do with those emotions, is that, you know, I think back historically, we didn't have to deal with emotions. Everybody was in survival mode. And now you're at the point where, because of these resources that you all mentioned being available, we're going from survive to thrive, but people don't know how to thrive because all they ever knew was how to survive. And then when you get into things like, you know, the way that our minds work, resilience, the things that we're building into, we've always been relational as it relates to women, right? Having groups to talk to, laughing, chatting, things like that. It's normal for us to be able to unpack our emotions, to unpack our feelings, unpack the frustrations, all those things. But for our men, it's just always been, if they do that, then somehow they're weak or they can't handle this or they can't handle that. And to, you know, think that men don't have the same number of emotions that women have is just doesn't make sense, because we all have the exact same level of emotion, but it's the inability to be able to express those in a healthy way that causes this toxicity and these maladaptive coping methods that people are using. And when I was growing up, people, everybody, a lot of people smoked weed, and you smoked it just as a recreational thing, or you had a drink as a recreational thing, but it's turned from recreational and just kind of having a good time in the moment to something where it's literally being used to self-medicate and to cope. And that's where I see, you know, a lot of things recently. I see so many men, a relationship breaks up, and they literally cannot handle it because they've invested the emotions. They've let their wall down, but then all of a sudden heartbreak comes, and they don't know what to do with it because no one's given them the tools to say, if it doesn't work, this is what you do. This is how you act. And there's not this group, this village for men to feel vulnerable and be able to express themselves without judgment. And feeling like somehow they're less than. And we've got to do better as parents to be able to pour as much into our sons as we pour into our daughters, and stop assuming that children are okay because they're not screaming, help me, right? Because sometimes help me is the silence that we ignore the silence, and that silence is sometimes the cry.
Absolutely. Nah, thank you. That's an amazing 3 cents, Queen. Thank you for getting in this morning. Wow, she said a lot. Ashley or Monique, either one of y'all, any thoughts to what Alisa called in? Gave us that amazing. Sometimes I upgrade people to 4 cents, but she gave us something on that one. But any thoughts from either of you on that?
Well, I just wanted to bring both what Ashley said and what the caller said kind of together. And, you know, Ashley was talking about how much access people have nowadays, and the caller was talking about how we've moved from this survive mode to this thriving mode. And I think that a lot of times that is kind of the propaganda that leads to some of the issues, because we have so much access to social media, and social media projects these images of people just thriving. And happy. You know, these men are spending so much money on me, and, you know, this is what a body looks like, and this is the expectation. And so this generation especially is inundated with these images of how they're supposed to measure up that are so unrealistic that, you know, and bringing it back kind of to the topic that, especially for people who have experienced some childhood trauma, who don't have a good, realistic view of what healthy relationships are going to be so confused by the propaganda they're seeing on social media that they truly think that, oh, that's what normal is, when that is the farthest from the truth. You know, because real relationships are not about how much he buys you or not about how much she twerks or any of the stuff that they put on, you know, social media to get a million views. You know, it's really about those small day-to-day things, like what's the rapper say, you know, let me fold clothes for you. That's a true, that's true family. Mm-hmm.
They call,
you know, yeah, J. Cole, you know, is talking about a real relationship. And, you know, that really is not what is glorified on social media. So I think that we are in this phase where, yes, people have access to a lot of information, but mm-hmm. many times information is toxic and it paints a picture of what thriving is supposed to look like that
right.
is productive.
Now, that makes sense. Let's jump in. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, like, We're chasing the same feeling because, like, people don't know
yeah.
these other range of feelings. They just want to maintain
right.
the one that they're used to that makes them, quote, unquote, safe. Like, if I can be chill, I'm safe. Like, if I stay
yeah.
away from anger, if I stay away from sadness, I can be safe. And so they're chasing the things that maintain that level of whatever emotion it is that they're comfortable with, because anything outside of that range, we don't know what to do.
Yeah,
that's tough. Yeah, that's tough. Let me, you know, just tough to think about. Like you said, without hearing it the way you just said it, Ashley, you're chasing safe. And so, if
mm-hmm.
if you're unaware that you're chasing safe, then it's really you not wanting to deal with yourself.
Yeah.
And so, if you're unaware of it, then it goes back to what you said earlier in the show. You think you're showing up one way and don't realize how you're actually showing up, because you're always trying to stay in a safe space safe emotional space, to where, yeah, I'm cool, I'm chill, that type of thing. Yeah, I can't experience, like you said, the few limited words that we do learn. I'm not, whatever, you know, that's frowned upon in society. Not even in a good way. But if you try to get caught up in staying in that safe space, whether you're a boy or a girl or a man or a woman, then how do you ever become, in a sense, your full self? But where I want to really move this into is, in a sense, the realistic conversation of two people coming together, and however they're, whether it's triggered or they have some self-awareness and they're having, you know, in a sense, some childhood trauma, like talk about, if you will, that type of interaction, Monique, at the level of you're trying to enter it while discovering your own thing. Like, how does a couple even try to do it? Because if you got to do it in relation, and I haven't been taught it, what does that even look like, if you will?
Yeah, and I think we have to think about what happens when you've experienced childhood trauma, you know, regardless of whether it's sexual or verbal or physical or neglect. Thinking about the idea that most of us are trying to feel safe, children who have been abused or have some other level of childhood trauma, you know, daddy left, and so, you know, there's these abandonment issues, or mommy worked too much, and so she was never there for me. You know, whatever the traumatic reality was, is that many times those kids just grow up into adults who really struggle to ever feel safe. And so when you don't know how to feel safe on a fundamental level, it puts your partner in a situation where they can't ever satisfy you. They can't ever really bring out for you. They can't ever show up for you the way that you think you want them to, because you're chasing a fantasy. You're chasing something that you feel. And I think that we have to first acknowledge the effects of the trauma that we have experienced, so that when we are in those relationships and we are asking ourselves these questions, how do I show up better for my partner, or how do I find a partner who actually is going to help me to recover from these things and aren't going to constantly be re-traumatizing me, you know, we have to do some of that foundational work to say, okay, yeah, I need to recognize the pattern that exists in my relationships so that I can figure out why I'm continually attracted to this kind of person.
Let me ask you this, because you highlighted the example of, in a few seconds ago, the lady that is chasing the prize. What's walking someone that does that, what's walking them out of that look like, if you will, like that specific example you had already kind of given?
Somebody that's chasing the...
Yeah, what you said, they were, in a sense, if you keep looking for the prize, you'll never be pleased. Like, you'll keep doing that. So how does somebody that does that, because that's a hard cycle to come out of, right? I'm just about if that has been your experience, and then how does somebody that has that experience, what's some of the ways that that specific style needs to come out of looking for that perfection, if you will?
Yeah, and I think that a lot of times people get into that cycle, and they're serially in relationship after relationship after relationship, even though they're saying to themselves they want a successful long-term relationship, they want their person, and they have to recognize that the pattern that they have been showing in dating and in finding relationships is not working, that they're not getting what they want. They're not actually getting the prize. Yeah, they may get a purse, but that's right. Not actually what your goal is. And you have to be intentional about your own behavior, because that's what's driving your results. It's not the other people. It's the decisions you're making in these relationships and being accountable, because it's most people in dating pointing outward. Oh, it's them.
Yep.
It's their. There's not enough men, or there's no good women, or all they want is this, right? And instead of pointing to themselves and saying, I keep choosing people who do this, or I continually pursue the person who behaves this way, and I have to address my part in my decision-making in this process, and what boundaries I'm setting that are unhealthy in getting me to the to the ultimate goal that I have in establishing a healthy relationship.
That makes sense. We actually got another call. Let's jump in. Area code 323-3606. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Yeah, my name's Joe from Montana. So what I wanted to ask is this. Because the childhood trauma that a lot of people go through, a lot of times people don't really realize what their trauma is. It's deeply into the inner recesses of one's mind. Now, what I want to ask is this. Outside of the feeling of one feeling abandoned and fear of feeling abandoned again, are there any other feelings that trauma can manifest within a person's soul or mind or emotions that damages the future relationships?
Monique?
Yeah. So along with feeling abandoned, there might be low self-esteem. You might have not feel confident in your ability to attract love or keep love or to deserve love. There might be some identity issues. I don't know who I am, and so every time I'm in a relationship, I become whoever that person says I should be. I like what they like. I eat what they eat. My culture is their culture, and so there's this constant shifting of identity. There may be some boundary issues. People who have experienced childhood trauma often have either very porous boundaries. They meet a guy and they're moving them in the next week. Hey, you want your kids to come move in? Hey, come on. You know, or they have very rigid boundaries. Oh, I only date women who this, or I only date men who this. And so those boundaries are so super rigid that they struggle to have any healthy relationships. And then there may be other things that create a huge emotional response. So they're triggered by things that other people might say, hey, that doesn't really seem like a big deal to me, but not getting that phone call or, you know, someone having a friend of the opposite sex or really might trigger a really big response from behaviors that for other people might not feel like such a big deal. And then having trouble regulating their emotions. So after they do that, it's very difficult for them to calm down or to actually talk about.
Yeah, it's a lot. You probably could keep going for the rest of the show on how many different ones it is. But yeah, we are at the top of the hour. Appreciate the call very much. If you want to get back in, you can definitely come off the one and back on the one. But I do have to go to the top of the hour break. We'll be right back. We're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses make $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, they still know it's me, because I look like money.
You know why people like fall out of love with each other? Because they resent each other. Mm. And you know why people resent each other? Because of unresolved stuff that they never had the courage to speak up and talk about. So eventually one day,
right?
Death by a thousand paper cuts, I'll say, hey, why did you guys get divorced? I don't know. We just fell out of love. No, you didn't. You know what happened? You guys couldn't communicate properly. Yeah. We like to talk about everything that goes on, and that's why we thrive and fall more in love with each other every day.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, special guest co-host Ashley Thomas. This morning's discussion question, is it unrealistic to fix childhood trauma while dating? Special guest psychotherapist Monique Knight. As I said, you was running off an amazing list. Looks like my man from Montana want to jump back in, so let me get him back in here real quick, finish up his thoughts. But yeah, she laid out a big list for you. What you got? What's your response to?
Yeah, you did. First off, can you hear me all right? I'm testing out my new headset.
Yeah, you're
okay,
good.
Can any static or anything like that? Everything's good?
No, you're clear. You're coming through clear. Yeah.
Okay, good.
You said, say your first name again. I'm sorry, bro. Say your first name again. Joe, right?
Joe.
Okay, I want to make sure that's right. All right, go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Okay. The thing is that I understand how a person can feel unworthy. I can understand how a person can feel fear of rejection, fear of abandonment. I'm also thinking that the person would also, the more that let's say a woman selects a man who she likes, and now they're getting close, and now she's having fear of intimacy because she's fearing that the man is good. And she can trust him, but every time that she trusts somebody, the rug is pulled out from underneath her. Sometimes it's because the man is a bastard, and other times it's because of the childhood trauma. What can a therapist do to help somebody who has any of these particular issues that are damaging his or her relationship?
Hey, great question. Go ahead, Monique. They get to, Joe find them up for you. Go ahead, Queen.
Well, I think that there are a couple of different strategies, and I think it depends more specifically on a couple of factors that we probably can't get into today, but there are a lot of therapies to treat trauma. some of the more common things like cognitive behavioral that's literally helping you to be more aware of how those past traumas affect your present day decision making and arresting that process so that you can strip away the ways that your trauma is influencing your behavior and allow your values to drive your decision making. There are some that are more emotional focused, like DBT and more mindfulness, and so you're really sitting with how you feel about things a little bit more intentionally. And then there are more.
Let me ask you this before you. Yeah, before you say that, just to get some, this is a little small thing for me, if you don't mind. And that's, so you said a cognitive behavior, like even in saying it that specific, in a sense, what's a layman way for someone to say, I want specifically what I just heard you say versus just hoping they get that? You know, like sometimes when you first get out there and try to research, you kind of just ask people for therapists. But the one you're talking about is so specific, it's kind of like, how do you help people figure out where the areas kind of look specifically for cognitive behavior therapists, if you don't mind trying to throw that out there real quick.
Yeah. So if you're in Georgia, the easiest way is to go to comprehensivefamilycare.org and talk to one of
Hey, I love it. I love it.
Let them know.
Get it in there. I love it.
But yeah, I think that, you know, it's common for you to find a psychotherapist that does CBT, and that's kind of, you know, the way that most therapists are going to talk about that process. But I do think that finding a good therapist is about finding somebody that you really do build rapport with and have a good relationship with, because this is going to be, you know, one of the more intimate relationships that you've ever had. And so you do want to find people that you truly connect with. And who are open to taking the journey in any way that you need it, you need that journey to happen. You know, our therapists, you may start on the journey, and yes, you're very cognitive, you're learning the process. And then, you know, like Joe said, sometimes when you start that process, you don't really remember or you don't really understand where your trauma came from. But the more healing you have, your mind is saying, okay, you're ready to understand this. You're ready to know this. And so sometimes you start to remember getting really on a conscious level about yourself and about your experience. And so sometimes that has to change. We're no longer ready to do logic-based counseling. We need to get on the floor and do some crying, and we may have to, you know, do more play therapy-type interventions. We may have to go back to the time when you experience that trauma and you're 4 years old, and I may be processing with you like a 4-year-old. And
a lot of different types. And let me try to, if I could, like, if you're doing couples therapy to a degree, right? And what I'm saying in the sense of a lot of couples have to, in a sense, they mess through this without therapy, if you will. So it's almost like, what are, if you will, just to throw this out, what are some successful ways or in a sense to be aware of, all right, I have this, you have that, this can work? Because I'm pretty sure there are some traumas that it's like you really should stay away from each other, if you will. But I'm just, you understand what I'm saying? That in the sense that it's like, how does a couple kind of say, okay, this is how we might can make this work. And then there are some situations where, no, y'all both got to do a bunch of stuff yourself before you can try to pair again. Go ahead, Queen.
Well, and definitely in couples counseling, we may find, okay, this is something that you need to resolve on your own before you can effectively participate in this relationship. But that is a lot of building those skills. You know, a lot of times we'll have one person in the relationship may have an anxiety disorder, or they have major depression, or there is a personality disorder that they need to take responsibility for and manage before they can fully participate in the relationship. But often, and most of the time, we can continue to work with couples even if they're also working on something individually. The only time that that's usually not the case is if there's domestic violence happening in a relationship. And then we would, you know, for safety reasons, make sure that those right. behaviors have fully been addressed before those people are, you know.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. If I could, though, in a sense, since a lot of people are maybe in a position where they feel like they can't get therapy or they think they can't afford it, whatever the reasons, or they're not ready to take that step, if you will, is there any, in a sense, pointers out there for people listening saying, all right, this is workable. Like how do, in a sense, they can make their situation, what things can they be aware of or saying, yeah, this is a situation I can work through and they're at the stage of not being able to take therapy. What type of pointers are there for the general public, if that makes sense? I don't know if that makes sense or is a fair question.
Well, I think I understand what you're saying, but I will say that I, just like if somebody breaks their leg, they need to go to physical therapy. If you are broken in your relationship, you need to get treatment. I understand that therapy is seen as this luxury. It's not. It's covered by insurance. We take it. Most of our clients are coming in paying a $5 copay. If you can't find time to manage your mental health, then that in itself is, you know, speaking to the symptoms. But I will say that I think there are lots of good resources out there. There are tons of books you can start reading. If you've experienced some childhood trauma, Your Body Keeps the Score is a good book on understanding what's happening to you. Why do you react this way? Why do you keep choosing these people? And so I encourage people, start reading about trauma. Start reading about, the memoirs of people who have gone through what you've gone through. Don't just passively stay in the pain of trauma, you know, and think, oh, this is just the way I am. It's not. It is a medical condition. Trauma creates a physical change in your brain chemistry that can be corrected, that you can learn to manage. Just like if you had diabetes, yes, it was because of behavior. Something happened, something you did, but it's something that can be corrected. And, you know, change lifestyle changes can change your ability to successfully experience joy, experience love, have better relationships, you know, be a better parent. You know, all of those things are skills that you can learn and that you can learn in relatively short amounts of time, considering how much time we invest in our dysfunction. And after 30 or 40 years of getting the same result, maybe it's worth it for you to go ahead and fill out the paperwork to let your insurance pay for you to go to therapy.
Yeah, please, Ashley, go ahead.
Can I add something? Okay, so I love the book recommendation. I will also add, like, it doesn't always have to be, even though, like, this is childhood trauma, if going to individual therapy is not an option, consider group therapy. There are therapists that offer the ability for you to be in groups. It's still relationship. It's still you interacting with other people and, like, being able to meet yourself. At the book exchange, I brought the book Attached. I think that's a wonderful resource for you to understand your attachment style and how that impacts you in relationship. There's a host of wonderful podcasts out there that you can listen to from actual licensed therapists that are reputable. In addition to The Body Keeps the Score, I also recommend What Happened to You, the book that Oprah Winfrey did, because, you know, the thing that often happens is, like, we're like, what's wrong with you? Instead of what happened to you, what made you come to this point? How did you get here? And that's the difference in the questions. Mm. And then another book is Triggers, How We Can Stop Reacting and Start Healing. So I just wanted to add that.
Hey, thank you. That's good. 302-946, we'll get you back in. We do have to go to the break. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think. If you want to get in, I see a lot of callers out there. Press 1 if y'all want to ask any questions. If y'all are just listening via the phone, no problem. But if you want to get on here and ask a question, you do have to press 1. A lot of our first-time callers don't catch that when we tell them that. All right, we'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
Too many people are pedestaling relationships without understanding that behind all healthy relationships were hundreds of uncomfortable conversations and thousands of triggering moments and hundreds of thousands of breakdowns internally, whether they shared it with their partner or not. Healthy, successful relationships come from two people being willing to sit in the discomfort long enough to build a somatic body that can hold each other and themselves.
Welcome back to the Venture Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, is it unrealistic to fix childhood trauma while dating? Special guest, psychotherapist Monique Knight, my guest co-host, Ashley Thomas, 302-946. I think you wanted to jump back in here and give us your 3 cents.
Yes, I love everything y'all are talking about. Again, it's to Lisa Word. And love the books that Ashley mentioned because I've read those books. Those books are so amazing. But I wanted to speak to, like, this concept of therapy because I think going to therapy is like taking the thoughts out of your head that sometimes overwhelm you, putting them out in the air, and then having a partner in your therapist to help you see how you can breathe better with them. Like, it's just literally that simple, and I think we should treat it like just like a checkup, like we do with our physical body. And it doesn't always have to be something wrong when you go to therapy, right? It can literally be just life stuff. But the other thing I want to just throw out there real quick is a lot of people don't realize there's something out there now called a lifestyle spending account. Check with your job and see if they have lifestyle spending.
Yes.
Lifestyle spending is something where your employer puts cash into that account, and it helps you to pay for therapy. It can help you even sometimes depending on, like, you know, meditation and mindfulness processing and stuff like that. So sometimes there are opportunities for you to even pay for stuff, you know, and you don't even realize those things are there. So don't let that be an obstacle into, you know, your guest today having, you know, options like she has also to be able to provide for people.
No, absolutely. Thank you so much for getting back in here with us, Lisa. Appreciate the 3 cents.
Yeah, and I just to add that, like Ashley mentioned, we offer group therapy, some of which is free. We work with all major insurance. We take all the Medicaids. We take Medicare. We take lifestyle spending accounts. We take HSA cards. We have a sliding scale for folks who don't have none of those options. We take EAP. If somebody needs help, especially in our community, I just want to reiterate that this is our pandemic. This is our health crisis of this generation. We have more young black men dying gun violence, which to me is part of the mental health crisis, than any other reason. And if we can't say it's worthwhile for us to figure out what's the thought process that's happening with our young people, that is much more important than anything else going on in our community. This is our pandemic. So, you know, my agency especially, we are committed to making sure that we make mental health care affordable. And if anybody has a
a child that has been experiencing some trauma, that, you know, is in the midst of developing these poor relationship patterns, this is the time to intervene. This is the time to say, yeah, you know, I have a 17-year-old son, and I know he's been watching, you know, me and his dad go through some really bad things, and he's developing some habits. This is the time to start therapy.
Mm.
This is the time when dad walked out the door, or you know, mom walked out, because that happens too, right? You know, it's not just dads that aren't showing up for their kids the way they need to. And, you know, we have several dads who have reached out to us and say, hey, my daughter's mom has left. She needs some support. And that's the time to really say, okay, yeah, we need to put some interventions in place, because that's when these patterns are being established. And we can break those generational curses in the process of them being developed if if more people are willing to say, okay, yeah, we're gonna address the mental health of our children and our families with as much urgency as we do their physical health. That's our slogan, actually, is that we're committed to treating, and now I'm forgetting it.
Yeah, you do. It happens. You know, it happens every now and then. It'll come back to you.
Yeah.
But if we could, I would like to, I all of these are real solutions, and I hear you, in a sense, reiterating all, and I love you laying out all the different ways that it can be payable. And so I think some people, you know, are not aware of that. So it's beautiful that you did that. But I want to, even we still kind of jump dead into the relationship from the standpoint of, again, either what you can do here or solutions, and we've been talking about them throughout this show, but for two adults, you know, they are already in it and they're trying to walk through it. They're discovering their own childhood trauma. So, let's say, for example, one is showing up with some type of attachment issue, and the other one, I don't know, you could give me the other perspective, but because at the end of the day, we're trying to figure out how to mesh together. So even beyond even me getting therapy per se, how can they make that dance sometimes with different attachment styles, or is it better to be aligned with your own attachment style and that might be easier to get along with? I don't know. I'm just throwing out some scenarios.
Well, I will say that that's probably not necessarily the best thing, if you say, hey, I have an avoidance attachment style. Let me find somebody else who's avoidant and let's try.
I don't know. I'm just saying some crazy stuff. I'm just throwing it out there. I have no clue.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would say that that it all goes back to communication, and two people are not going to be necessarily seeking a professional to help them walk through that journey, but they're already noticing, hey, I see some red flags, and a lot of times we are trained to just ignore those because, hey, we got a partner, we got somebody to go to the dance with us, so we're just going to, be easy. But I think that you have to learn to communicate about those things so that, we have to study our partners. We have to learn them. We have to be, committed to understanding how they think, how they feel, where those thoughts and feelings are coming from, what their values are. And part of that means is that you maybe, especially up front, you're having these really uncomfortable conversations regularly.
Let me ask you this real quick about that part in particular. So, again, y'all have, in a sense, y'all have a boot camp to really make people understand. It's to help singles understand how to be paired. And so when you're saying, hey, I'm having this moment that you just spoke to, how soon, in your opinion, I would say, I'll call it the courting stage, that you, in a sense, need to start jumping into those deep conversations? Because if you don't know that, you can, say, oh, this is my person, and you haven't even delved into the deep conversations, or some people don't delve into them until they're married, because the marriage itself forces them to delve into deep conversations. So how soon should some of those deeper conversations start coming in your opinion?
I think as soon as possible. I have the boot camp is designed for anyone who is unmarried. We do have a version of it that we will offer for married couples, but right now we're working with people who are unmarried. And the process that you're going through to learn that person has to be truly about learning them. And I tell my single people, it's more important when you're dating somebody and you're considering someone for marriage that you can look at that person and say, yes, I like who they are. I like their character. I like how I feel when I'm with them. I like, you know, the way they respond in situations. I value the behaviors that they demonstrate. It is less important for you to feel like you're in love. That is a chemical process, and it is fleeting. And a lot of times that feeling is more connected to our childhood than our values. And so in order for you to say, I like something, you got to try it out, right? You don't say, oh, I like this flavor of ice cream, and you've never tasted it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. All of that makes sense. I'm gonna press you on this to a degree.
Okay.
And I know there's never like a direct timeline per se, but I know you've helped people move into marriage, which is a stage a lot of people are trying to figure out. As this conversation says, you know, figuring out, oh, damn, I do have some childhood trauma. What is childhood trauma? Like, we're all in that state. Well, not all of us, but I'm just saying, in general, that's the dating situation now. And so, again, within a relationship, we're both aware that a lot of times couples are not having the deep conversation. So I know we can say as soon as possible, but in a sense, what's a comfortable period in a world where people are like, okay, I don't want to give people too much until we get to a certain stage, but how soon should those serious conversations be happening? Some people already say, I do, and still have not had those serious conversations. They wait to marriage. It's got to be a grace period, but what does that realistically look like? When are y'all recommending for your couples to have those conversations?
So tell me what you mean by there's got to be a grace period.
I'm not explaining it well, but I'm just saying in the sense of, like, in this world where somebody likes pretending to be someone and you're, you know, in a sense you're scammed out or something to that degree. So because that world exists, if you will, you're at the stage of, you know, like, for example, you're courting and somebody says, you know, maybe ask a finance question that's a little personal on the, you know, on the second date, that's usually a disqualifier, if you will, or whatever. But a lot of couples, for example, will go to, they'll be married before they've had, I'm just saying that's an example that I've heard plenty of times.
Yeah. And I think that I am a very authentic and honest person. And so it would be different for me than it would be for someone else. Right. And I think that's part of learning the person that you're with. If you're a person who's very direct, who wants to be able to have those important conversations with anyone that you are considering dating, then if that's your personality, then you have to be authentic. You have to lead with that. If you're the kind of person who's more reserved and you have more rigid boundaries and you are expecting a longer courtship, then you might hold off a little bit. But I think that depends on who you are and what kind of relationship you're authentically looking for. If I was still dating and I can ask somebody, you know, the big question on day one, that would disqualify them for me. But that you have to date to look for the kind of person that's going to fit with your personality. You know, and not sugarcoat things and try and hide who you are to pass some imaginary dating rules that shouldn't be imposed in the same way on every person.
Nah, absolutely makes sense. Let me do this real quick, Ashley. Let's hit this break, and we'll get you and Joe back in from Montana. He wants to get back in as well. For the other callers out there, if you want to get in, you do have to press 1. If you're online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
For details to become a sponsor of Mental Dialogue, visit Facebook at Mental Dialogue or call Montoya Smith at 404-604-9477. That's 404-604-9477. Mental Dialogue, where all I ask is that you think, that you think, that you think.
Nothing were to change about him right now, not a single thing changes, would you marry him? Would he be the one?
Wow.
Sit with that. That's a really great question. It helps you understand if you are in love with an idea and a potential or the actual person.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. Is it unrealistic to fix childhood trauma while dating? Special guest psychotherapist Monique Knight. Ashley, you were about to jump in before the break, and we'll get to Joe on the line after you. Go ahead, Queen.
Oh, I think I forgot my point.
I feel like what gets missed is that you can still ask questions, but you don't necessarily have to go in depth about them, right? Like, because there should still be the thing that has been a good reminder for me as a single woman now is that this is all about gathering data. So you don't know someone well enough to know if they're telling you the truth. So you can ask the questions like, you know that money is a very big thing for me, and it's a very hard boundary for me in my life. So, you know, I can ask, like, what's your credit score, or, you know, how do you feel about credit? But if we're further into this, if we're actually talking about marriage, like, I want to see your credit report. I want to see what it looks like. I feel like we get so caught up in, like, not wanting people to see us that we don't allow questions that determine compatibility or things that are big values for us to be addressed, because people just in my last round of dating, like, people are like, oh, you know, don't ask the serious questions. Like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, I'm trying to get married. I need to know before I even invest emotionally if we're even on the same page. If you're not trying to have hard conversations now, what are we even doing? Like, I need to know if you want marriage. Do you want kids? How do you feel about these things? Just so that I can determine if we are even aligned for us to even invest more time and energy into each other. Like, those are the basics.
Now, it makes a lot of sense, Monique. I'm going to try to put you on the spot just a little here. What are, or have you seen this maybe, what are some of the hard questions when it comes specifically to childhood trauma, if you will, that people should ask, like the verbiage to kind of, if, you know, again, say these couple, they're willing to have the conversations, but if you don't know what to ask, you see what I'm saying? Like, what are some, maybe a few specific questions that people should be asking, but they're not asking?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a basic assessment that we give reviews a person's trauma experience. It's called the ACEs, and it's the Adverse Childhood Experiences Assessment, right? And it basically just reviews, have you experienced this? And I think that you should hear someone's the story of what how it was when they were raised, right? You should know, what was it like in your house? You know, what things made you feel sad? You know, What was your experience with your family? You know, do you remember your childhood fondly? You know, what's your happiest memory? What's your saddest memory? You should understand that about a person pretty early on in the relationship before you're starting to talk about, oh, I think I love this person, right? Because you have to know a person to love a person, right? And I think that that's an exploration you have to be having with people that you're considering a serious commitment with. And to Ashley's point, you know,
the idea that you should hold back getting to know a person until you've earned their truth, I think it's part of that childhood trauma experience, and it's part of how men especially seem to hold their truth hostage, and women are in this anxious pursuit of, is it okay for me to be authentic? Is it okay for me to ask him to show up? Because he's avoiding showing you his authentic self, and that's unfair. That is not
fair.
And we as women should not have to constantly be on edge about whether we're asking for someone to show up too much for us, because men are being taught to be avoidant and women are being taught to be anxious, and that toxic attachment pattern continues to play out.
And let me say this, because and then see what you think of this. In a sense, you're speaking to, again, as you said at the beginning of the show, that that's what's being pushed in the culture, because in reality, if you will, when you say to a sister, that's the concept of worrying about whether you're asking too much. Like, when a man is in his masculine, that's all we want you to do. What I mean? To your point, if in a sense you talked about, yeah, the culture's teaching boys, to be avoidant, if you will, because like my point is, on the flip side, when that male understands that, he naturally wants to do it. So it's like almost like wanting a sister to understand you in a sense you can't do that too much. We want to be needed. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Queen.
Right, and I agree with that. I think that, when both people are showing up in a healthy way, then, some of those things disappear, because, the man wants to let you know how he can provide. He wants to let you know how he's going to lead you. He wants to talk to you about what's his destination, what's the vision, when women are showing up healthy, they are hearing that stuff and they're soaking it in. They're loving this information. They're studying this person. They're figuring out, ooh, I see the vision, or I could see myself sitting in here, or I can see our future in this way. And so they're investing in listening to that man. And I think that that's often what I hear. Men will say women don't listen, and women will say the men won't talk. But when both people are showing up in a healthy way, that starts to resolve itself.
That's where you basically get that complimentary right there. Let me get Joe back in from Montana. Sorry about the long wait. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh boy, all right. I was gonna answer your question specifically, the host, Socrates.
Okay.
Here's what I recommend. When people are in the dating phase, let's say after 3 or 4 or 5 dates, if both of them feel, or at least one of them feels, that there's a possibility for a relationship to bloom, but they don't know it yet because they're not in a relationship, here's what I recommend. You and the other person, whether it's a he and a she or a she and a he, you take out a piece of paper and you write down what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other, and you write out scenarios that could come up in the future, and you ask each other, how would you react? For example, I personally think the conversation about the bathroom seat, the toilet seat, if some woman gets me into a conversation about the toilet seat, she's automatically gone. Okay? I don't want to hear that now. All right. The other situation would be, suppose
I love that first idea, by the way. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. My other scenario is I'm your boyfriend. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You and I have talked. You've told me you're a strong, independent woman. And by the way, I would love to actually meet a woman who is actually strong and independent. But that's a side note. But in this particular hypothetical, she's telling me she's strong and independent. She has a car. And she says she can take care of any problem You know, yes, the man is physically stronger, but she can take care of problems, doesn't require a hell of a lot of strength. Okay, fine. So now it's 3 o'clock in the morning, her car breaks down. So my situation is, I say to her, your car's broken down, you're an hour away from me, I'm your boyfriend, what do you expect me to do? And we've talked about triple A. So that's the situation I would present to her. Another situation would be, you and I are in a club. A drunk comes up, taps your butt. What do you expect me to do? Because to me, the essence of a relationship isn't how much time you've spent together. It's how you've confronted the opportunities, the situations, the challenges that have popped up. I don't want to wait 2 to 3 years down the line to find out, you know, I may be in love with a woman who has a real emotional problem in one situation or another. I want to know now. So you tell me.
That's definitely unique, if you will, Joe. I don't know if it's, I would say unique, but you try to write it down in the beginning, these things. Like
you
scenarios.
Write it down. You're not you're clinical. You're not,
yeah, that makes sense.
You're not
that
romantic. You act like a divorce lawyer. And you
say, dang,
you
I don't know about
out,
all that. That sounds kind of harsh. I'm messing with you. I want to hear what thinks about what you have to. And well, actually, let me start with you, Ashley. Any thoughts to what you're hearing, like writing that stuff down early? That seems like a good idea to me, but I don't know what you think, Ashley.
So I feel like it's kind of twofold. I think it is an interesting way to understand someone, but if this is the beginning, you have no way of knowing that what they're writing down is what they'll actually do, like, and
yeah,
how they will treat that with you specifically. So I think it's like a good point of maybe if this is what the person has said and you, I wouldn't even say that you have to believe them, but if and when that situation occurs, come back to it, because is this person being honest? Like, were they honest about how they would react to that? But I don't think it's something that you should hold true and know that, like, oh, this is the answer, because anybody could tell you anything. But beyond that, like, how does that leave space for them to evolve and grow with you depending on what that response is? Because, like, oh, the independent woman thing, like, oh, I would go ahead and change my own tire. Or I would call AAA. But then how does that change 1 year into the relationship and this woman has now let her guard down? She no longer has to be independent because she can rely on you. Would the expectation still be that she calls AAA or she changes the tire herself? Or would your expectation be that she actually reach out to you because that's your woman and you want to make sure that she's okay, regardless of if she's an hour away or 15 minutes away? So I think it's data to come back to review, but I would not hold someone true to that because, again, anybody could tell you anything.
Well, yeah, it definitely makes sense. And I would say especially at the beginning, but what about this part of it, Joe's idea, if you will, Monique, the idea that at some point, or do y'all ever have couples write out specific things? Just like when is that effective at all prior to marriage? It sounds like there should be some effectiveness in it, but to Ashley's point, doing it too soon, you're not figuring out possibly what you think you're figuring out. But go ahead, Monique, any thoughts on that idea?
Well, I actually have a workbook that is created for that specific purpose. It's called the Secret Sauce Workbook, and you sit down with your partner. It's geared towards a couple that is considering marriage. And so you sit down and you really think about, what do I believe marriage is? You know, in Muslim cultures, they enter marriage as a contract. And in some places, they literally write out, what is a wife's job? What is a husband's job? How are we going to handle raising our children? How are we going to handle our finances? And so you create a contract on what you're going to do in marriage. And it's not with the intention of this being prior to divorce, is with the intent of this is how we're going to confirm that we can do this forever, because we're both coming into it with very clear expectations. So I think it's absolutely important to really kind of make some commitments on the front end and understanding what you're committing to. And I think we sometimes are walking down the aisle and we don't know, like, like Ashley said, we haven't seen the credit report. We don't know what we're committing to. And I think it's fundamental that you kind of go through the process. You fill out all the worksheets in the workbook. You admit to all your childhood trauma. You admit to what baggage you're bringing. You recognize, okay, yeah, I've displayed these negative behavior patterns. And you really have a journal, a book, that I have studied this person. We both passed the test, and we agree that this is something we want to do. I do think that it takes some time before you really can understand what someone's authentic self is and that they have shown you enough. But I also think that, you know, part of childhood trauma is making sure that you are paying attention when those behaviors and those things are coming up and you aren't looking the other way, because part of that trauma is that you learn to ignore bad behavior. And a lot of times it's not that we don't see it. It's not that we don't know if a person is being honest. We see a bold-faced lie, and we just go with it. And we're afraid to call it out.
No, that makes sense. Let's do this real quick, if you will, Queen, because you were talking about having this book where people can kind of figure these things out. That sounds amazing. But let's let them know specifically, if you will, about the Secret Sauce Relationship Boot Camp. Because if you thought it was unrealistic, this might be the place that makes it realistic. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a deep, meaningful relationship that eventually leads to marriage, but tired of swiping left on dating apps, tired of being ghosted, and tired of online relationship coaches without relationships themselves? Well, psychotherapist Monique Knight has the recipe to help you find your perfect match, and she brings you the Secret Sauce Relationship Bootcamp. With support from trained couples counselors, marriage and family therapists, this course will empower you to build meaningful relationships. This 8-week boot camp offers a structured journey for singles to meet and interact as our team of experts guides you through topics like effective communication, conflict management, and intimacy. Registration is now open for the second boot camp after the first one sold out in less than 2 weeks. The next boot camp starts on April 1st. Register at comprehensivefamilycare.org/SSB or call 404-585-7533. Again, that is 404-585-7533 for details. Remember, love is not just a matter of chance. It's a skill that can be developed.
Hey, y'all. So fortunate to have psychotherapist Monique Knight on the line, putting on the Secret Sauce Relationship Boot Camp. They've sponsored this morning's show and wanted to highlight everything they're doing, as I said prior to the break, to make it realistic to fix these childhood dramas while dating, while stepping, saying, I want to get married. Let's make sure we have these things hashed out. So if you will, Queen, go into more detail of how y'all are helping couples. As you told me when I first got to know more about your comprehensive care, y'all are single-handedly trying to raise the black marriage rate. So give them some more details on the Secret Sauce Relationship Boot Camp, if you will.
Yes. Well, during the boot camp, we're over the 8 weeks that it'll be together. You participate once a week in a learning workshop where we're talking about some of the skills required to successfully communicate, to successfully resolve conflicts, to be aware of your childhood traumas. We help you walk through those ACEs assessments and process what's happened to you. How are those things affecting how you show up in relationships? How do you enjoy more intimate connections with your partner, whether that begins in a sexual way or you saving sex for marriage, but how do you have fulfilling intimacy? And so over 8 weeks, we explore all of those topics, and then we also have a date where we supervise you in exchanges with other single people to practice the skills you've learned. So by
no, that sounds
getting
amazing.
And you are in the experience. We're watching the behaviors. We're saying, hey, I noticed when you were talking to him, I saw this come out. And that seems to be connected to what we were talking about earlier. And so you really have somebody coaching you through an actual dating experience.
Wow, that's impressive. Ashley, any questions? Just even the hearing about this secret sauce relationship boot camp sounds amazing. I love the actual goal. But any questions from Monique, from your perspective?
I think because I plan on signing up, I'm going to do one of them. It'll probably be after April, but I already have that in my budget so I can attend. But I do wonder, like, is this where you are you paired with people? Is it like a group interaction or like are you swapping partners every week? Like, I guess more what does that look like? Because I think it's so wonderful to have a professional there seeing you interact. And I guess another question would be like, how do you ensure that people are being authentic? And I guess that would depend on the activities or what you're doing to make sure that people are not being on the defense or being performative in these, at these events.
Yeah. I will say that, you know, there is no way that we can verify 100% of the time that someone is being completely honest. And I can hear that that's very important to you. But we, you know, therapists get lied to. Even in therapy, when somebody's paying to tell you their truth, people will still lie. But we do have a lot of resources to verify some of the information that people have provided, and we do that. But fairly matchmaking, but we do give opportunities for you to experience multiple different single people. And so each cohort, we have about the same number of men and the same number of women. And then throughout the experience, and some of the people know each other ahead of time. There are some people that are already dating, and they bring someone that they're currently dating to the boot camp. And so they often are working with one another, while other people are working with people they don't know. But there's opportunities throughout where we'll pair you up and say, here, we want you to practice this communication technique that we just taught you. Yeah. Or we want you to practice using the conflict resolution strategies that we taught you in this argument that you've previously had, or in an area where you guys disagree about something fundamental. Maybe we take someone that we know feels very passionately about a topic, and we pair them with someone with a different opinion, and we have them hash it out using skills that we've taught in the workshop. And so that may be part of the date experience that they have that week. And so each time that we teach a skill, like we may teach in our intimacy class, we may talk about touch, and we may talk about non-sexual physical love, and then we may have an opportunity to practice that. You may sit down and practice, tantric massage, or practice chakra balancing, or do a meditation with a man that we've paired you with. And so there's opportunities to actually try the techniques that we've talked about in the workshop so that you're reinforcing those new skills and you can really apply them in your next relationship, whether it's with someone you meet in the boot camp or not.
That's impressive. Yeah, let me say this real, this is something that's coming up in my mind real quick. Norma Langa Malawi, she always says that in a lot of areas we'll get coaches or experts to help us improve. It could be a sports activity, becoming an executive, all these different ways people coach. And the thing we're struggling with the most, in a sense, as a culture now, our relationships, is like the last place that people go to get these services. So I absolutely can really appreciate, even if you, like you said, you're just saying, let's practice this technique with whoever this is. You can only be better inside of a relationship having practiced it than you would ever be not doing it. So it kind of, again, if you will, speaks to the current times of how this is the type of stuff that is necessary, and it is the way, specifically in our community, in my opinion, to effectively raise the black marriage rate, basically to have monitor perspective with professionals. Matter of fact, you have all types of different type of therapists specifically for this camp, when I understand, if you want to highlight some of the differences and why you, maybe why you pick, why they're part of the camp.
Yeah, we actually have a team of clinicians. Mark, who joined earlier, who's a marriage and family therapist. We have Melissa Lewis, who is a therapist. She specializes in sexual traumas and sex therapy. We have Lakeisha McCray on the team, and she has a lot of experience with various anxiety disorders and depression and how those can play out in relationships. We have Kevin Thornton, who also has a mixed history of treating couples and individuals. And we bring in special guests as needed who may lead one or two workshops. We have someone that specializes in domestic violence who will work with the men on conflict resolution. And so I'm really excited about the roster of therapists that we bring to the table. Each one has some specialty or experience that they offer during the boot camp. And then during the activities, you may have several, you'll have several therapists that are facilitating the activities and are kind of looking for various behaviors and are coaching people through.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a, if I can jump in, just, you know, just real quick, it, I mean, it literally sounds like you have a holistic dream team when it comes to the different areas, because the reality is, because a lot of times our childhood traumas can be so various, it could be multiple. Chris James, who called in earlier, you know, highlights that if there are, in a sense, mental health issues or mental illness that can come from certain traumas or whatever, 50% of them, 50% of that we experience is typically by the age of 15. And so, it's just really amazing to say, okay, we all have these things that we deal with, and your leak or your weakness can be in so many various places. And so this very holistic approach kind of ensures, now, in my opinion, that, you would know exactly if you still need some therapy, in a sense. You say, oh, okay, we went through this thing, we learned some things, but maybe there's still some areas we should work on. It's like you would know exactly who to go through by just experiencing your camp to a degree. That's kind of what I'm hearing with that type of different people you've brought on your team.
Yeah. And that's the goal, is to have enough different, a variety of clinicians that can help a variety of issues so that everyone that comes through the boot camp can get what they need.
Wow, that's beautiful. Well, we've got a couple of minutes to close it out, but again, for this morning's discussion, is it unrealistic to fix childhood trauma while dating? The first thing is, if you will, awareness of your childhood traumas. They're not always easy to discover, but as it's the very beginning of the show, they talked about you have to be in a relationship sometimes to even get that mirror in your face. And so that consistent issue that is being redundant is probably a sign that you need to go see a Monique Knight, psychotherapist for the Secret Sauce Relationship Boot Camp, because this consistent issue is your awareness, but you don't know what to do with it. So if you will, Queen, we got about a minute before we go. Any last things you want to say about the camp and how they can get in contact with you again to participate in the camp? You got about a minute.
Yes, we do. We do have a waiting list for our ladies. So if ladies are interested, please go ahead and register so that we can get you on one of our cohorts for this year. Men, of course, you know, we do have slots still open for men, especially. So please go ahead and reach out. It is a sign of strength for you to be committed to having a successful relationship. It'll save you tons of money down the road from unsuccessful relationships and protect you from future divorce. So, you know, start to build those skills and invest in having the family that our communities need so that we can change the cycle of generational trauma.
Yeah, what's that website and phone number, and we out of here?
The website is www.comprehensivefamilycare.org. To get to the boot camp is /SSB, SSB as in Secret Sauce Boot Camp. And the phone number is 404-585-7533.
See y'all next Saturday. All I ask is that you think.
It's just better, better in the Bahamas.
Discover the heart of Bahamian culture, where lively rhythms, irresistible flavors, and spirited history welcome one and all. Experience the true essence of island life at Nassau Paradise Island, the Bahamas. With convenient daily nonstop flights from major U.S. cities, your island getaway is closer than you think.
We made USAA insurance for veterans like James. When he found out how much USAA was helping members save, he said,
"It's time to switch.
We'll help you find the right coverage at the right price. USAA. What you're made of, we're made for. Restrictions apply."